We're going to be in a very familiar passage, especially a very familiar verse to many of us. In Psalm 119, we were going to begin this evening in verse 105. If I would ask for a show of hands, which I'm not, but if I would, I would guess a lot of us in here might have this particular verse memorized. Psalm 119, though, I'm going to read the first eight verses starting in 105 up through 112. And so if you'd read along with me as I read aloud. Psalm 119, 105, it says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I've sworn an oath and confirmed it to keep your righteous rules. I am severely afflicted. Give me life, O Lord, according to your word. Accept my freewill offerings of praise, O Lord, and teach me your rules. I hold my life in my hand continually, but I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, but I do not stray from your precepts. Your testimonies are my heritage forever, for they are the joy of my heart. I incline my heart to perform your statutes forever to the end." Now, the 14th stanza, I believe that's the 14th message in this chapter. It's the longest chapter in the Bible. This 14th stanza, the stanza none, it begins with a verse that many Christians memorize early on in their Christian walk. Whether it's as a kid, maybe kids heard this in a VBS program or a kids program. Maybe even as adults, it's one that we hear often and helping us to guide our steps. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The verse is very memorable because it's powerful. It really speaks to us as we consider whether by day or night, whether in good times or bad times, and God has given us this gift to show us the way I should walk, the way I should think, the path of life. It's like H.C. Leopold, he says it well. He says, "He that uses the word faithfully learns where to set his foot as he walks along the slippery paths of life. He need not stumble or fall." This stanza, it's really filled with various ways that the psalmist, he sees the word and how he responds to the word. You notice a couple of them with me, even in our introduction. In verse 107, we see that he is afflicted. Verse 110, the wicked seek to trap him. And yet, he says it is the word of God that gives him life in verse 107. It brings joy to his heart in verses 111. And you see, even in 111, he also says it's the heritage forever. And then a couple times he says that he obeys God's word. He holds on to it tightly. Even in verse 112, the last one, he says, "I'm going to hold on to it. I'm going to obey it to the very end." You see, God's word, the psalmist is saying, it faithfully sustained him in the past. And he can trust that in the future, it'll still serve the same purpose. It'll sustain him till his last dying breath. And so we see just three things this evening we're going to look at as he considers the value of God's word yet again. The first thing we see is follow God's word for guidance. Follow God's word for guidance in verses 105 and 106. "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn an oath and confirmed it to keep your righteous rules." You know, every year, there's many celebrities who do things that people just gravitate and they love. One such person that is a very popular TV personality for many years, Oprah Winfrey. You've probably heard of her. She's the one who just gives away a lot of gifts around Christmas time. Well, Oprah, though, one time she was quoted as saying, "Feelings are really your GPS system for life. When you're supposed to do something or not supposed to do something, your emotional guidance system lets you know." Well, I get what she's trying to say. And it sounds good. And I believe her advice is well intended. But scripturally, she's not right. Unscripturally, what she is saying is that our decisions are based on my feelings. How do I feel? What is it that I feel? You know, it could just be indigestion you feel at the moment. that turned you off to something. You know, your feelings rise and fall. You have good days and you have bad days. Hey, there's high, even in a day, you can have a high and a low. Your feelings aren't constant. They come and go. You know, as in Star Wars, where Obi-Wan tells Luke, trust the Force, trust your feelings. But your feelings aren't always accurate. They're not always correct. Sometimes they're just flat out wrong. But the psalmist knows that there is one thing that's reliable and trustworthy, and that is God's word. And so he makes two strong statements here concerning God's word in verses 105 and 106. As we look here, as we're using this for our guidance, the first thing he says in verse 105, he says, I'm going to let your word lead me. I'm going to let your word be my guidance. And God's word, and only God's word, is, he says two things. He says, it's a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. Another way you could say it, you could say, by your words I can see where I'm going. They throw a beam of light on my dark path. They're his guidance, his way to look. If you think about when this was written, there's no electricity, there's no flashlights, there's no street lamps. And so traveling at night could be very dangerous. Most people wouldn't travel at night, and if they did, they would want to travel in a large group. And so here he is saying, as Spurgeon had pointed out, Spurgeon said, having no fixed lamps in eastern towns in old time, each passenger, they would carry a lantern with them that he might not fall into an open sewer or stumble over the heaps of dung which defiled the road. And this is a true picture of our path through this dark world. We wouldn't know the way or how to walk in it if the scripture, like a blazing flame, did not reveal it. On Sundays, we've been going through Israel and Moses, and as they've left Egypt and they are traveling now through the wilderness. And if you remember, as they travel, there always was this cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. God was their light. He gave them the light at night, but he was also the one who was clearly guiding them and showing them every step where they were to go and how to get there and be safe. And so when I read this, I can't help but recall or even think perhaps the Israelites and the psalmist as he's writing this is remembering how God directed their every step and led them through the wilderness. And he's saying, God, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. A light to mark their way. A picture that's all too familiar is saying, God should lead my steps. What a wonderful truth. We might not, obviously today, we don't have this big cloud that's out there that we know is God. But yet we have just as sure of a guidance for us. God's word to direct us. A lamp by night and a light by day. God's word guides and directs us. It leads us to walk in a way that pleases the Lord. One of my life verses, it comes out of 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 and 4. But verse 4 specifically, it's talking about the God of this age. It's talking of Satan. It says that he blinds the minds of the unbelievers. I'm paraphrasing. Lest they see the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. He blinds them so they don't see the light. But God's word illuminates. And God's word directs. God's word teaches. It's a light to show us how to walk, how to live like Christ. You know, by God's word, you can live like Jesus Christ. That's a power. That is wonderful truth. So he says, I will let the word lead me. And then verse 106, he says, I promise to obey your word. I have sworn an oath and confirmed it to keep your righteous rules. The psalmist believes this word is something that he can trust forever. Later on in verse 112, he says it's going to be to the very end that he can trust it. And because he can, he says, you know, another way to say it, I have solemnly sworn to keep your righteous judgments. That is my oath. Now, oath in the Bibles are very serious matters. To break an oath, to break a vow was a very serious thing to do. Your yeas were to be yeas and your nays, nays. You were supposed to be a man or a woman of your word because God is truth. There is no lie with God. And so oaths are very serious things in the Bible. Because according to Matthew 5:34, Jesus warned against this. But this is an oath that's worth making, that's worth keeping. The psalmist is saying, I'm going to keep, I covenant to keep your righteous rules. And he says, I know this is a good thing. I know this is a right thing. I know this is something that you would want. And so he describes his rules in verse 106. He says, your righteous rules. Meaning the right judgment, correct, trustworthy, the ones that help us to make right choices or good choices. It's not based off your conscience or your feelings of what is right and wrong. It's really that saying the Bible is a light to my moral path. When we live in this dark world, a difficult world, a world that we question what is right, what is truth, especially in this age and the media, it's hard to know what's true. It really is. I assume it's probably always been that way, but it just seems like to me that it's worse than it used to be. What can I trust? The psalmist says, I can trust God's word. I can trust that it's true. In this dark world, that the Bible will clarify issues, show me how to walk. And so he says, because of that, I will obey God's word. I swear that I will obey his word. And so we look to follow God's word for guidance. And secondly, this evening, we need to trust God's word for life. And so verses 107 to 110, we're going to see this trust that the psalmist has for God's word with his life. The Bible never says that those who follow Jesus will be immune to issues and problems. In fact, it's quite the opposite. 2 Timothy 3:12 tells us all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Meaning there's going to be hard days. There's going to be great difficulties. And James, he even says in James chapter 1, verse 13, he says, count it all joy when you face trials, when you face these temptations. Because he says the testing of your faith produces steadfastness or endurance is another word. And we're to count it joy when we face difficulties. That's a hard one. I'm not going to preach on James this evening, but that the psalmist is saying, God, I trust your word to help me through these times, the difficult days. Because real life has real problems, real difficulties, and they're going to come, and they will, and the question is, how do I respond? Well, what is the right way to respond? Well, we'll see just a couple here. As he's trusting God's word, he says, when troubled, trust God's word. Look at 107 and 108. He says, I am severely afflicted. Give me life, O Lord, according to your word. Accept my freewill offerings of praise, O Lord, and teach me your rules. The psalmist is going through a really tough time. He's not just afflicted. He said in 107, he says, I am severely afflicted, greatly afflicted. They are even life-threatening. This isn't the first time in Psalm 119 he has said this. He's actually already said it three other times of the great affliction he is, and it's probably not going to be the last time he faces great difficulties. Does he turn inward? Does he have a pity party? Woe is me? Does he go around singing how terrible it is? No, you know what he does? He turns to God and prays. He turns in these difficulties with God to God. And he says, Lord, in the end, in verse 107, he says, Lord, give me life. And give me life according to your word. The idea is revive me, renew me, strengthen me. He's like, I have sworn that I'm going to keep your righteous judgments. And now would you help me through this? Give me the strength to go through this each and every day. But don't miss what follows this. What follows verse 107. 107, he's talking about his affliction. He's asking God for life and energy. But did you see what happened in 108? So this is giving praise to God. He's offering up praise to God and asking, teach me rules. He's, yes, the Lord must save me, but he's not sitting idly by and doing nothing. Rather, he is worshiping God. He says, God, even in the midst of my affliction, I'm going to choose to worship you. He's bringing praise to God, presenting, it's a freewill offering of praise. Not only that, but he also adds, and he prays, Lord, teach me your judgment. What he's doing, he's calling to God. He's saying, here's my exaltation. And then he's asking for edification. God, I will come and I will praise you. And I'm trusting that you will be my instructor, that you will teach me. It's really a powerful 1-2 punch. The Lord, what he's using here is to revive our souls and enable us to live victoriously. I even, as I think about this, the psalmist wants all of the Lord, especially when he is hurting. He wants it all. In other words, you know, oftentimes in great affliction, we tend to pull back from church. Sometimes in great affliction, we'll say, I need to take a few weeks off. I will be back, and we stay at home maybe, or we get away. I know exactly. I can say that's me too. Sometimes in great affliction, I just want to get away. I don't want to talk to anybody. And the psalmist is saying, and what I think is important, is the psalmist is saying, even in those great times of affliction, it's actually good for me to come and worship and be taught. And no, it's not talking so much about serving as much as it's saying, it's good to be where God is. It's good to be where you're going to learn from God. If we had put it in today's age, I would say when the days are hard and difficult, it's good to be at church. Don't pull away. You know, be there. Be refreshed in a service, singing out to the Lord, and hearing from God's word. Those are things that we need rather than pulling away. Because sometimes when things are hard and we pull away, it's harder and harder to get back. You need that. To be learning from the Lord, but you also need that uplifting praise to God. Secondly, also, he says, when in danger, trust God's word. Look at verses 109 and 110. He says, I hold my life in my hand continually, but I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, but I do not stray from your precepts. The affliction that the psalmist is suffering in this context, It's the result of persecution because of what he is doing, because he is following the laws of God. In verse 109, he's saying, my life is constantly in danger. When he says it's, I hold it in my hand continually, he's saying, I'm constantly in danger. There's a constant problem. The wicked have set a trap for him in verse 110. He's lived a life that has been faithful. Everybody can see this, and yet the wicked hate him, and they've tried to ensnare him. But there's also this parallel here. Look in verse 109. He says at the end of verse 109, but I do not forget your law. In the end of verse 110, he says, but I do not stray, or I have not wandered from your precepts. The 110 is reinforcing what he had just said, but I think the way he's saying it is, he says, I because I think a certain way, I live a certain way. Notice he says, I because I'm thinking about your law, I don't forget your law, I don't stray away. Because I know your word and meditate on your word, it keeps me on the right path. That's what those two verses are saying together. When the wicked are after him, when they're about to get him, he's saying, when I am spending time in your word, when I'm hearing from you, God, when I am meditating on your word, it's going to keep me on the right path. There is, even as Christians, we need to be in God's word. It needs to constantly be on our mind. If we want to walk right, we need to be in the word. In Proverbs 14:12, it even says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. But here in Psalm 119, he's saying, but with God's word, it is a way of life. We need God's word to direct us. Because on our own, we're going to go the wrong way and take the wrong steps. So when in danger, trust God's word. And so we've seen that we need to follow God's word for guidance. We need to trust God's word for life. Thirdly, this evening, we need to delight in God's word until the very end. Look at verses 111 and 112. Your testimonies are my heritage forever, for they are the joy of my heart. I incline my heart to perform your statutes forever to the end. It's a wonderful two verses to end here. It rings of future times, looking forward to something that hasn't come yet for him. Some of the blessings that come from living a life that is committed to the obedience of the Lord. And the value and worth that he describes here to the Word of God is pretty impressive. He's putting his whole future at stake based on the value he finds in God's Word. Because he says in 111, it's a heritage for me. It's a joy for me. And because of it, I'm gonna hold on to this to the very end, to the last breath. And really, it's a personal event for him that he's saying, this is where I want to be. Just like the Israelites, they always desire to be in the promised land. He's saying, this is where I want to be. In your word to the very end. Two reasons we'll look at that. The first one, the word of God should be the joy of my heart. The word of God should be the joy of my heart. The psalmist, he declares in 111, your testimonies are my heritage forever. It's language that speaks of God's word being eternal, and God's word always being there, and God's word always being sure, something that he can hold on to and he'll never lose. It's an inheritance that is pure, and it is a joy to his heart. You see, obeying God's word always does that. Obeying God's word brings joy. It brings peace. It's not a drudgery. It's not a pain. It's not something that you hate. It's not enslaving. It's liberating. The New Testament talks a lot about it. The freedoms that you have in Christ, and how many we go, oh, all the rules, all the regulations. And God's word says, no, embrace it. And you really find freedom. Freedom from so much this world. It's holding you back and weighing you down. It thrills the soul. The idea for the psalmist is the idea of ever walking away or changing his mind. It's not even an option. He says, this is my heritage forever. It's the joy of my heart. It's the very things I want each and every day. He treasures God's word. He loves God's word. Why would he want anything else? Not only that, in verse 112 then, he says, the word of God should be my never-ending reward. A reward that doesn't end. This theme, this joy of his heart is continued here. I like really how it is said here in the ESV, although the King James was also really good. But he says, I incline my heart to perform your statutes forever. And then for added emphasis, to the end. Forever to the end. He's saying, really, the ending here of this stanza, it's really the psalmist, he's being very practical. The statement is this determination. He's like, I'm holding on to this to the very end, to my last breath, till I am no longer here. I am going to hold on and find joy in your word. If it's the last thing I do, that'll be good. It's a resolve there. He keeps these reasons. He says, I'm going to keep God's word to the very end because it is a life that pleases God, because he'll understand true righteousness, and because he'll understand a proper perspective on suffering, and he'll know he can triumph through the difficulties of life, and because he can worship God rightly, because he's going to know that he won't turn aside from doing God's law, or he's not going to be led astray because he loves God's word. He won't be distracted by the evil men and evil snares, and he will have a heritage that lasts forever. These eight verses really are wonderful. All the benefits of being in God's Word. Oh, why would you not want that? Well, I even just think of how many people live this life with no joy. And he's sitting there going, I can have it all the days of my life. All I have to do is spend time in your Word, God. And I'll make the right choices. Notice he didn't say that he's going to be prosperous in life. He didn't say there would be no difficulties. But he did say that it is a life worth living. It is a life that you don't have regrets when you can sit back and say, I love God's Word and I enjoyed to follow it. Such a treasure. It's something that we have, and it's a reward and a blessing to us each and every day. It's a great inheritance. I even like how it says there, not only does he say, I incline my heart, he's saying to the end, but he also says to your statutes forever, understanding that God's Word is eternal. There's no end to it. God's Word will guide you. And this is where God's Word will take you, to a wonderful place. The world really can't offer us anything like it. Everything's fleeting. I don't know how many times, even in my own life, there's something you just really want. And you get it. And then pretty soon, there's something else I want. All I want is a house. And you get the house, and it's all I want is a big back deck. And then you get that, and all I want is a lawnmower that'll do the yard just right. I'm not saying those are my wants. I'm just giving an example. You know, I don't even have grass, so I don't need a lawnmower. You know, the things this world has to offer us are fleeting. What does Isaiah 40 verse 8 says? The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of our God remains forever. Forever. Everything else is fleeting, and God's word will never fade. One more passage I'm going to read as we close. In Proverbs 4:18 and 19, it teaches us. It says, the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, shining brighter and brighter until midday. But the way of the wicked is like the darkest gloom. They don't know what makes them stumble. I'm so thankful for the written word of God. Thankful that we can have it where it points us to so much we need. Think of Jesus. Jesus, he says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Even if we would follow this theme throughout Scripture, the Apostle John, he could tell us, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all our sin. Oh, what a wonderful truth, the light of the Lord. Found in Jesus Christ and directs us in his word. Our world is full of terrible darkness. The devil has blinded the eyes of those as they see the glorious light of the gospel. And friend, each and every day you got a wonderful light right there for you, waiting to be used. And it is a joy. Be in God's word. Love it. Spend time in it. Don't just let it sit on the shelf or that app remain closed throughout the week. Be in it and love it. It is worth the time. It is worth the investment to be in his word. Let us pray. Lord, as we come, Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the light. Oh, Lord, we live in a dark world. I even think of the song, my heart was black with sin until my Savior came in. Lord, you have cleansed us. You have removed the darkness. You have removed the sin. You have teach us the paths of righteousness. You were the steps we need to take. Lord, we need your word, but it is alive. It is powerful. It is a light unto our path. Lord, we thank you so much for your word. Help us to love it. And teach us your ways. Guide our steps, Lord. Guide our church. As we endeavor to share this light to the world, we endeavor to be a light on the hill, a light that can't be hid, Lord. or remove the blinders from their eyes so they can see the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Lord, help us to follow your word. Lord, it'll never disappoint. It is exactly what we need each and every day. So may we develop a good, healthy habit and love for your word. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thank you this evening. We're going to